This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Brian Stelter is a TV reporter for the New York Times. I've known Brian since his days in high school and college when he was running a website called TV Newser. The success of that blog about the TV news industry got him the job of the New York Times, and that got him a contract for his first book. It's called Top of the Morning, Inside the Cutthroat World of Morning TV. Brian Stelter, welcome to America Weekend.
Thanks for having me.
How much money is on the line in morning TV every year?
$1 billion a year. That's how much advertising revenue is split up between ABC, NBC, and CBS every single year.
And that's not even counting the cable outfits like Robin on HLN and Morning Joe on MSNBC and CNN and Fox and Friends and all the rest, right?
That's right. It's really remarkable how much money is at stake in the mornings. But that's because viewers and listeners are hooked. You know, they get to know these shows and these anchors so well. And as a result, they're very loyal to the companies that advertise as well as to the anchors themselves.
Every once in a while, it gets kind of ugly when one team member gets pushed aside or a team member is added. Everybody knows about the Deborah Norville debacle from years and years ago. And NBC just went through it again with Ann Curry last year. Are they still reeling from that?
I think they are. I think they still have not fully reckoned with the impact of Ann Curry's removal. And as a result, it continues to affect them today. I think maybe there were two fatal mistakes. One is that they promoted her in the first place, even though nobody was really that excited to promote her. And then second, when they decided to demote her, to remove her from the show, which was the right thing to do, they did it the wrong way, and they never explained why they were doing it. They never took responsibility, and as a result, people are still upset.
And people are still blaming Matt Lauer.
Exactly, even though that's not entirely fair. Certainly, Matt Lauer had something to do with it, but it was really more about the executives behind the scenes, the bosses who no one actually knows when they're watching the shows. You know, it's those people, the nameless bosses, that are really responsible.
It seems like the nameless bosses in charge of NBC in the morning are very similar to the ones who are in charge of NBC late at night when they've gone through all of their Jay Leno debacles.
I think you're onto something there. You know, and to be fair to the executives, people like Steve Burke, the CEO of NBC Universal, these are extraordinarily hard things to pull off. It's not easy to transition from one generation of talent to another. But gosh, they do seem to have written a manual for how not to do it.
All right, so NBC has stumbled, and at the same time, ABC's Good Morning America has really come on. By, in my view, as a veteran radio broadcaster, it seems like they've almost gone to kind of a morning zoo kind of format. More people, more wackiness, more weird stories.
That's a funny way of putting it. I like to say it's more like The View, that ABC talk show with Barbara Walters, than it is like the Today Show, because it's more of an ensemble talk show. You know, the GMA covers the news when there's important news going on. It'll reassure you about the world on scary days. But what GMA does is it goes to the entertainment stuff faster than today's show does. It pivots faster to the fun and games. And that's what more viewers seem to want these days, especially as we wake up with our cell phones in the morning and we get the news from our phones and computers. Maybe morning shows are going to have to become more entertaining than they already are.
So is Good Morning America more gossip and crime-oriented by design?
It is on purpose. It is by design. The show was renovated a couple of years ago to make it more conversational, to make it more entertaining. One of the producers, James Goldson, said to me, you can do serious news. You can do serious information, but it has to be entertaining. And you can do that. It's possible. We see that all the time on news magazines and on shows like Entertainment Tonight and Inside Edition. And they've really applied some of those lessons to the morning.
This is America Weekend. I'm Paul Harris, talking with Brian Stelter about his new book called Top of the Morning, about the morning TV wars. So how much of a mistake was it, going back to NBC mishandling the Today Show, how much of a mistake was it to allow Ann Curry last year to do an on-air teary farewell?
that's something that NBC executives now regret, that they allowed her to come on the air live and say whatever she wanted to say for a few minutes before she left the show for good. They look back and they wish they had taped it, because that way the tears that everyone saw wouldn't have been quite so bad. Even if if she had cried when it was on tape, they could have edited it, they could have redone it, but because they let her on live, they had no control over what happened next. But really, I think that was just a symptom of the larger problem, which was the mishandling of her from the beginning.
I agree. I want to go back to one other thing you mentioned, which is the way people are using social media and online information sources, particularly younger demos. Are these morning TV shows on those networks, are they trying to appeal to a demographic that they're never really going to get because TV information isn't part of their world?
It is a struggle to reach younger people when it comes to these morning shows. These shows tend to skew older. They tend to be moms and grandmas who are watching, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, in some ways, it's important to know your audience and not try to pander to younger viewers. But these advertisers, they do seek younger viewers, and that's why, for example, there's a DJ on Good Morning America on Friday, and there's lots of talk about parenting and babies on the Today Show.
And they have all those concerts in their plazas.
All the concerts with artists, barely I even know who they are, and I'm in my 20s.
Now, the book, because you're writing about recent history here, is more positive in terms of what you write about Good Morning America than about the Today Show, which has an illustrious history and was the leader for 800 and some odd weeks, but now has fallen by the wayside a little bit at the feet of GMA. I know that you were invited to come on GMA this past week and talk about the book. I'm curious about the reaction you've gotten from them and from the folks of the Today Show.
Well, the Today Show knew I was going to be on Good Morning America. We tried to get on the Today Show. Of course, they wouldn't let me on for some reason. Go figure.
Yeah.
We actually tried for a couple of months to get them to commit to something. And you know how these shows operate. They always compete for guests. So if one show has you on, the other one won't, which is kind of crazy to me. I was lucky to be able to be on CBS's morning show this week and CNN's morning show. A lot of the morning shows that aren't owned by NBC were happy to talk about the book. But I have had a good reaction from sources inside NBC. It's not as if they're calling me saying that I've been unfair. I've had a lot of compliments from those people. Now, of course, they can't say that publicly because their bosses aren't very happy about everything that's happened the last couple of years. But I've been really relieved to see that people haven't challenged what's in the book. They may not like it, but they know it's true. You know what I mean?
What about CBS? A perennial also ran ever since they canceled Captain Kangaroo, and I can't believe that 70-year-old Charlie Rose is the future of anything.
A lot of people have their doubts, including all of Charlie Rose's friends. When he was thinking about signing up, even the mayor of New York City, Michael Bloomberg, told him not to do this morning show. But it is slowly gaining viewers. It's still in third place. It's still way far behind GMA Today. But it is gaining viewers. People seem to like the hard news approach they're taking.
I like the way that they start each hour with that eye opener, where in 90 seconds I essentially get all the headlines, and then I don't have to watch the rest of the show.
Well, it's very creative. The producer of the show, Chris Litz, is very proud of that idea. He wanted to start the show differently from all the other shows, because that way, if you notice it for a minute, you might stick around. With morning TV, people are so loyal that it takes a long time to get noticed if you're trying something new. That's why Good Morning America had to wait patiently for an opportunity to strike. They were given that opportunity when Ann Curry was removed, because all of Ann Curry's fans turned off the Today Show the next morning. Some of them went to GMA instead. Morning TV, it's all about patience, waiting for your opportunity.
Before going to CBS, Chris Licht ran Morning Joe on MSNBC. At one point, is it true that he tried to get that to be the new CBS morning show?
Actually, the heads of CBS, people like Gus Baker, who's the chairman of CBS News, he was interested in bringing Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski over to CBS, but the deal didn't get done. NBC let Joe and Mika out of their contract. It came very close to happening, but then the top executive at NBC, Steve Burke, said, whoa, I'm not going to let these people off MSNBC. There's, you know, they've got a great audience, even though it's a small audience, and there's no reason to disrupt my brand that way, he said. So he kept them around for a few more years. But I wouldn't be surprised if Joe Scarborough, who is very ambitious, doesn't try in the future to head to a network.
Yeah, but that's not going to be NBC. It's not going to be the Today Show.
Exactly.
It's not going to be ABC. It's not going to be Good Morning America. Maybe after the Charlie Rose era passes, CBS will try the 11,000th attempt, and maybe Joe and Mika will be a part of that. It's a pleasure talking to you again, Brian. Thanks for your time today. Congratulations on the book.
Thank you for having me.
The book is called Top of the Morning, Inside the Cutthroat World of Morning TV. That's Brian Stelter, who is an intrepid reporter and blogger and tweeter for the New York Times. You can find him online on Twitter, at Brian Stelter. I'm Paul Harris. America Weekend.